New Year's sermon this morning is going to be from the book of Lamentations in the Old Testament, the book of Lamentations. If you're going to follow along, I'll give you a few moments to look that up, because I'm guessing that there's probably not too many of us here who've recently read from the book of Lamentations. I mean, you have to admit, the book kind of has a self-image problem, doesn't it? Do you really want to read from a lamentation? What does lamentation mean? The word literally means song of mourning. Not song of the mourning, but song of mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Song of sadness, song of grief. So let's face it, it's probably not the first book you'd pick up in the library, right? Lamentations. Lamentations was written by that great prophet, the prophet Jeremiah. And it is exactly a lamentation, a song of mourning. Jeremiah is seeing with his own eyes the destruction of the holy city Jerusalem and the destruction and exile of God's people at the hands of the pagan Babylonians. He's lamenting as we would lament if we were in the same situation. But this morning I want us to enter into that lamentation a bit with him. I want us to understand a bit about what Jeremiah is going through and seek to learn from his experience. Let me give you just a couple of examples of where Jeremiah's mind is. We're going to read in Lamentations 3, but before I get to that, back in Jeremiah, you don't need to look there, but back in Jeremiah 9 and 10, Jeremiah writes, "I will weep and wail for the mountains and take up a lament concerning the wilderness grasslands. They are desolate and untraveled, and the lowing of cattle is not heard. The birds have all fled, and the animals are gone." And then we pick up his lament in chapter 2 and verse 11 of Lamentations. "My eyes fail from weeping. I am in torment within. My heart is poured out on the ground because my people are destroyed, because children and infants faint in the streets of the city." Lamenting. I was thinking as we leave the old year behind, as we reflect upon the year that's just about behind us, we may be in some way lamenting this morning. We may be mourning. We may be filled with some sadness. Because in 2018, we may have suffered loss. Maybe we've suffered the loss of a friend, a family member through death. Maybe we suffered the loss of a special relationship. Maybe we suffered the loss of a job or financial security. Maybe we suffered the loss of our health. There are many losses in this world. I don't need to tell you this. You already know it. And they do fill us with lament, with sadness. And so as we think about that this morning, and as we prepare ourselves to move, God willing, into a new year, let's enter into Jeremiah's lament. We want to pick it up in Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. And what we want to learn from Jeremiah this morning through his lament, that though we suffer, though we are often grieved and sad, we can look forward with hope and victory as we change our minds, as we expand our perspectives, and as we improve our self-talk. We're going to look at those, but let me just share with you now from Lamentation 3. I'm going to begin in verse 19 and read through 26. Jeremiah declares, "I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet, this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." I say to myself, "The Lord is my portion. Therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." as we put our laments behind us, if we can, and seek to move into a new year, let's, by God's grace, change our mind. What do I mean by that? Let's go back to verse 21 of that passage that I just read. This is sometimes referred to as the hinge verse. From Jeremiah's lament of despair toward a song and a declaration of hope. Up until this time, Jeremiah's mind has been occupied with dark and disturbing memories of past suffering and defeat, leaving him depressed in mind and soul. In today's parlance, we might say that Jeremiah is suffering from PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome, which I'm told consists of constantly replaying in our minds the pain and the suffering of the past. And so we might think of Jeremiah being like that. He's caught in that continual playing of the tape of his lament, his pain, his hurt, his disappointment, his grief. And we can relate. Sometimes we find ourselves in that same place, don't we? But what we notice here is that in the midst of this, Jeremiah makes a conscious choice to call to mind reasons for hope. Verse 21 again, yet. In other words, in light of my suffering, in light of my pain, in light of all that I've faced, yet I am determined to bring to mind reasons for hope. Sometimes we just have to change our mind. We just have to change the way we think. Now, I know it's not easy. I don't mean to suggest it's easy. Paul, we are not saying that Jeremiah just suddenly threw off his pain. As a matter of fact, if you read through the rest of Lamentations, you'll see that that certainly was not the case. And yet he is determined to stop that tape that's continually playing in his mind that is taking him into despair, and he's going to put a new tape in that's going to take him to a new place and a positive place in his life. In 2019, let's determine to change our mind. Let's determine the way we think, to change the way we think. To not be caught in a loop of despair and negativity, but to move toward hope and victory that is only possible through and in Jesus Christ. It is about our faith that enables us to rise above negativity and hopelessness and despair. In 2019, by God's grace, let's change our mind. And in 2019, as we move forward, let's expand our perspective. So let's go back to the text. In 21, Jeremiah says, I'm going to change my mind. And I'm going to have hope. I'm going to think about those things that move me forward and move me up and draw me closer to God. And these are some of the things that he's going to think about. In verse 22, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Jeremiah and God's people have suffered. They've been tested. They've been mistreated. They've been abused. But Jeremiah now remembers this. Remember, his mind is changing now. He now remembers this. Yes, we've suffered. Yes, we've had it tough. Yes, we've been tested. Yes, there's been some bad days. But I know this. I have not been consumed. And God's people have not been consumed. We have not been destroyed. Life in this fallen world tests us. But we need not break under the pressure. Because we know of God's constant love, expressed in His grace, His mercy, and His provision. Jeremiah says, I remember God's great love. And the English is trying to express the word he uses here in the Hebrew, which you may know as Hesed, H-E-S-E-D, Hesed, which refers to the covenant love of God. It refers to God's love that is strong, that is unconditional. It refers to the kind of love that is based not upon our faithfulness, but upon His faithfulness. A kind of love that is based not on our keeping our promises to Him, but on Him keeping His promises to us. That's the kind of love that Jeremiah, now that he's coming out of the fog of despair and that tape that won't stop running in his mind, now that he's beginning to see a little bit more clearly, he sees again. We're still standing. Yeah, maybe we've bowed a bit. Maybe we're a bit battered. But we're not defeated. We're not consumed. Why? Because we're God's people. And God cares for His people. And God provides, as we'll see, for His people. I might bend, but I will not break. And so Jeremiah expands his perspective by considering once again the great love, the covenant love of God. And then in the second part of verse 22, he remembers God's compassions, His compassions. This is sometimes translated as His loving kindnesses or His mercies. Notice it's always in the plural. Seems a little strange for us to say the word compassions in the plural. We usually talk about compassion. But again, it's the limitation of the English language to express what Jeremiah is trying to say here. What Jeremiah is saying here is not just that he remembers that God is compassionate, but he remembers that God acts compassionately toward us. We think of compassion as an emotion, and it is an emotion, but it is more than an emotion. It is a lifestyle. It is the way that we live out our lives. So Jeremiah is saying, let's remember that not only is God compassionate, but that He shows His compassion. He expresses His compassion to you and me in the way that He loves us and in the way that He provides for us. For His compassions, His acts of loving kindness, His mercies never fail. Never fail. Why? Because they're His. And He never fails. And therefore we can stand firmly upon this promise. But he goes on to say, not only do they never fail, but they are new every morning. New every morning. I wonder, what is Jeremiah trying to say here? They're new every morning. There's a number of ways of understanding that phrase. By saying they're new every morning, I suppose that Jeremiah is saying there's no end to them. They're infinite. There's no end to the supply. Every day he's there. But I think that Jeremiah may be confessing something here as well. Because this really is a confession. You see this as a confession? Where Jeremiah is saying, yes, I've been in despair and discouraged and down and depressed. But now I confess. But I'm going to change my mind and expand my perspective. I'm going to look at things differently. I'm going to look at things through an understanding of who God is. And in his confession, he says that these compassions, this compassionate action of God toward his people, are new every morning. Which to me, among other things, means that they're fresh. They're fresh. Like the flowers of the morning, the mercies of God are fresh. What I think Jeremiah might be saying is this. I used to ride on the memories of God's past mercies. I remember a time when God blessed His people, when God walked with His people, and all was good. But I'd forgotten that. And I thought that that was only in the past. But now I see that God's mercies are new every day. It is possible for us who have been walking with God for many years, like Jeremiah, to become stale in our faith. To kind of ride on the past. The memories of how God blessed us somewhere in the past. But our faith has gotten stale and cold. But what Jeremiah here is telling us is that our faith can be fresh every day. That when we walk with God every day, it's like a brand new day, a brand new start, a brand new opportunity to know Him, to enjoy Him, to be filled with Him, and to serve Him. They're fresh every day. As a matter of fact, I That's exactly how the New Living Translation translates that statement. They begin afresh every day. I want a fresh faith. I don't want to just be riding on the memories of the past, as wonderful as they are. But I want a fresh faith where each day I'm growing and serving and getting stronger. His compassions are new every day. And then Jeremiah, who has been formerly depressed and despondent, breaks out with praise. Great, he says, is your faithfulness. As we fill our mind and our soul with the wonders of God and His great love, we will rise above despair, and our hearts will begin to be filled with praise. The psalmist in Psalm 40 put it this way, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and He heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and He gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. When Jeremiah, by God's grace, changed his mind, when he expanded his perspective, he burst out in praise to God, which is exactly what we will do when we see God for who He is. When we understand Him afresh, each day, we will break out. We will burst forth in praise. Great, Jeremiah says, is thy faithfulness. To declare that God is faithful is to say that He is consistent in His character and He is true to His word. He is, as the psalmist said in 40, the rock, Psalm 40, the rock upon which we stand. The rock upon which we stand in the midst of the struggles and challenges of the day. In 2019, let's take a lesson from Jeremiah. By God's grace, let's change our mind. Let's stop allowing that tape to run and run and run in our head, and let's write a new story. A story of hope in 2019. In 2019, let's expand our perspectives. Let's come out of the tunnel of depression and see the beauty of who God is. And in 2019, let's improve our self-talk. What do I mean by self-talk? I think we all kind of know what self-talk is, don't we? It's that inner voice of our mind and our spirit. It's the conscious and unconscious beliefs and biases about ourselves. It may be a quiet voice, but it's an influential voice. It's a voice that shapes our personality. It's a voice that shapes our choices. It's a voice that can shape every moment of every day. How we talk to ourselves, what we say about ourselves, what we believe about who we are, and what our place is in this world. It's a powerful voice, so we need to always be improving it. So Jeremiah does this. Look in verse 24. It says, I say to myself. What does he say to himself? The Lord is my portion. The Lord, the Almighty God, is my portion. We find this declaration throughout the Old Testament. It implies, among other things, that God is all we need. The word portion there carries the concept of enough. God is enough. What I think Jeremiah is saying here is this. Whether I get what I ask for in prayer, whether or not things work out the way I want them to, whether or not I suffer or not, am tested or not, I know this, God is enough. He is enough. He's enough to fill my soul with comfort and hope and expectation. He's enough to meet the needs of my life. God is enough. He's enough because He's God. And when He's not enough, in my mind, it's because I don't behold and understand who he is. But when I behold him and understand who he is, then I begin to say, understand that he is enough. The Lord is my portion. Therefore, Jeremiah says, I will wait for him. I will wait for him. Now, you know that this is a continual theme of the Bible as well. Waiting on God. Sandra made reference to waiting. We came through the Advent season leading up to Christmas, a time of waiting. But what does it mean to wait on God? Jeremiah's waiting, was it not a waiting of resignation? But a waiting of hope and expectation that God is there and that he cares. Notice that Jeremiah waited positively. He says, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. Hope. It was not a waiting of resignation, not a waiting of giving up, but a waiting that said, I'm expecting good things. I'm expecting good things. Why? Because I believe in a good God. I see a good God. I have hope in a good God. So he was waiting, but waiting positively. And also we need to see that he was waiting actively. He says to the one who seeks him. Seek is a verb, isn't it? So Jeremiah was not merely waiting for God to come to him, but he was actively moving toward God. Let me say that again. Jeremiah was not simply just waiting, God, come to me, but he was saying, help me to come to you. Help me to draw near to you. How do we do that? Well, that's what we've been doing this morning, right? When you came together in fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, when we sang the songs of worship, when we pray together, when we read the scriptures together, when we seek the scriptures together, when we study the Word together, those are ways of drawing near to God. So we're waiting. We're waiting. But we're not just waiting with empty hearts and minds. We're seeking to actively draw close to Him. Of course, the Bible teaches us that if we seek Him, we will indeed find Him. So we seek Him. We wait patiently. Or we wait expectantly or actively, and then finally we wait patiently. He says in verse 26, it is good to wait quietly for the Lord. The psalmist in Psalm 37 declares, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret. It's a much repeated word of wisdom in the Psalms, as you probably know. This waiting, again, is not the silence. Waiting patiently, waiting quietly, is not the silence of ignorance. It's not the silence of despair, but it's the silence of hope and expectation. On Christmas Eve, in our Christmas Eve service, we always end the service Silent Night, singing that great old hymn, Silent Night. Silent Night. Expressing that quietly, we're waiting for God. But that waiting is not a resignation. It's not a waiting of ignorance. It's a waiting of expectation. Because we know Christmas morning is coming. Waiting patiently, waiting with expectation. We can wait quietly, which means without murmur, complaint, or accusation. Because we know that God is faithful. He is steadfast. He is reliable in His love and His mercy. We know that our help comes from the Lord. To close our sermon this morning, I want to invite you to repeat together with me the 121st Psalm. You're going to see it on the screen here. I felt that these would be good words for us to repeat and to seek by God's grace to get into our mind and our spirit again as we begin a new year. We lament. We suffer. We're tested. But we look forward with a changed mind, with an expanded perspective, and with improved self-talk because of God's grace. Psalm 121, will you read it with me? Let's read it together. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you.